Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, January 13. And as you probably know if you follow the Beacon Broadcast, we are studying the qualifications for deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we've come to the qualifications for the deacons' wives in verse 11, which says, "Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things." And that seems straightforward and simple enough, except we find that in our day there are people who don't seem to be quite certain that this is talking about deacons' wives. And we talked about that a little bit on the broadcast yesterday. Some think that this is talking about the office of deaconess, a female deacon. Some think that it's talking about widows who are serving the church. And there is reference to that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, two chapters over. And there certainly is a place for widows or other women to serve the church. There are certain things that men cannot do. There are other things that women are certainly more adept at than most men. And so there certainly is a place for women and perhaps even a particular office of women, an order of women might be a better way to put it, who can prepare and deliver and serve meals to those in the church who are in need, who can visit the sick, the shut-in, and the needy, particularly, and I would say almost exclusively, other women, those who could prepare in that day love feasts, what we would call today fellowship meals for the church, and also can prepare the elements for the communion table for church services, and can help with baptisms for women baptismal candidates and so forth. These are things that undoubtedly women did do in Paul's day, in Timothy's day, and certainly would be appropriate for them to do, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy 3:11. And there are certainly many things that such women could do in our day, beyond even what they were doing in Timothy's day. They could do volunteer office work. I'm thinking now about the widows who are being supported by the church. They could help by collating and preparing mail and labels and stuffing and missionary letters and duplicate tapes and transcribe sermons and catalog books and help with book sales. And there's almost an endless task of things that women would be very qualified to do. But again, that doesn't mean that this is what Paul had in mind in 1 Timothy 3:11. Now, we will note, before I tell you why I strongly believe that Paul is talking here about the deacon's wives, not about an office of deaconess inhabited by women. Inhabit probably is not the right word, but that is assigned to women, or not some other office in the church that is for women, such as widows, but deacons' wives, and I'll show you why in a moment. But first, let's notice the requirements that are given here when it tells us in verse 11, "Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things." They should be reverent, or some translations say grave, and that is the same qualification that is required of deacons in verse 8, which means that they should be serious about spiritual matters. They should be serious about the Lord's work. So they are to be reverent. Secondly, they are to not be slanderers. Well, nobody should be. And certainly, a deacon's wife should not. They should not be malicious gossips. They should not be talking about others. They should be people, women, who are gracious in speech and know how to control their tongues and know how important it is not to gossip, not to spread tales, not to be guilty of slander. How important that is. And many a church has been severely damaged by gossip, certainly not the exclusive domain of women, I can tell you by much practical experience as a pastor over the years, not exclusively the domain of women, but I must also say by observation that it is more often a problem with an obvious problem with women than with men. Men can be as guilty of this as women, but in my experience, men may be guilty of it about a third of the time, and women at least two-thirds of the time or more. Why? I have no explanation, and that's only a very unscientific, informal statistic that is only an average by way of observation. I probably am getting myself in trouble even saying anything like that. But there is the potential for great damage by the ill-advised use of the tongue. The tongue is a mighty weapon for either good or for ill. A mighty weapon to heal, to build up, to comfort, to soothe, and also to wound, to harm, to destroy. And a deacon's wife needs to be a godly woman who knows how to control her tongue. Thirdly, she is to be temperate. That word in some translations is sober. That was required of bishops, overseers, back in verse 2. Temperate, circumspect, balanced might be, well balanced might be a way of translating that. And finally, it says here that she is to be found blameless. One translation says, faithful in all things. Found blameless, or faithful in all things is actually what you have here. I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong verse. I was looking at verse 10 when I said being found blameless. That's for the deacon, but faithful in all things is exactly what is said here. Faithful to her home, to her marriage, and to her children. Faithful to her church. Faithful to her ministry responsibilities, whatever they may be. Reliable in all matters. Faithfulness to any trust which is given to her, and particularly those that she willingly accepts. Faithful, trustworthy, somebody that you can depend upon. When will we truly learn and believe that faithfulness is the greatest ability? It's not the talents that we have necessarily, not the gifts, not the personality, not the talents of various kinds. It is our fidelity, our faithfulness to whatever tasks have been entrusted in our care. And if we are faithful, we are successful. If we are unfaithful, we are failures, no matter how successful we may appear to be in the eyes of men, in the eyes of God. If we are unfaithful to our responsibilities, we are failures. And if we are faithful, we are successful. Now, these requirements should apply not only to deacons' wives, but also to all women in the church. Any church member, anyone who has any responsibility in the church to minister in any way. But here's why I am convinced that this is indeed talking about deacons' wives and no other office and no other kind of woman specifically, when it says in verse 11, likewise, women, as you remember we talked about yesterday, that all the Greek says is women, a word that that can be translated woman or can be translated wife. I mean, it's not that the verse does say literally women. It could just as accurately be said that it says literally wives, because this is one of the words that is used for a wife. In fact, probably the most common word that is used for a wife. So it would be incorrect to say that it says literally women rather than wives. It would be correct to say that it could be translated women instead of wives if, and here's the big if the context indicated such, but to me the context screams the opposite. It just doesn't make sense. The qualifications for deacons starts in verse 8. It concludes in verse 13. This statement about women is in verse 11. When that statement is over, Paul continues, obviously, talking about what he has been talking about, namely deacons. So verse 12 says, let deacons be the husbands of one wife, etc. So it starts in verse 8, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, verse 11, their wives, as it is translated in my version, likewise, women, it is a possible translation if you're only looking at the Greek word, but look at the context. It goes on to say, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Verse 12, let deacons be the husbands of one wife. Now, if you know anything at all about the Bible, if you know anything at all about the writings of the Apostle Paul, you would realize that it is really just completely impossible to believe that Paul stuck a verse about something other than deacons' wives in the middle of this section about deacons. He's obviously, the whole section's about deacons. It would make no sense at all to have two or three verses about the qualifications for deacons, then slip in a verse about the qualifications for another office, deaconesses, as some make this to be, and then, without any explanation or transition, to go right back in verse 12 to deacons again. It just isn't done that way. What you've obviously got in the chapter is qualifications for pastors, verses 1 through 7, qualifications for deacons, verses 8 through 13, and one of the sections in the qualifications for deacons applies to the wives of the deacons. That, in the context, is what is so obviously there that I am almost adamant in saying that is the only realistic possibility. I really don't see how, in the context, you could argue for any other interpretation, any other translation. You translate it the way that it's normally translated. This is talking about the deacons' wives, and deacons' wives are vitally important to the effectiveness of the deacon. Deacons' wives are vitally important to the qualifications of men for the office of deacon. If a godly man does not have a similarly godly wife, then he must not be considered for the office of deacon. Deacons' wives are very important and also have a very high standard that is given to them by God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.